Hi, I'm Steve Bleers, and people keep sending me ideas for TV shows. Coming up, a programme for people who just can't throw stuff away.
There are certain topics that people are constantly fascinated by, and hoarding probably is one of those topics.
So welcome back to Pitch a TV Show, the podcast where anyone can put their idea to a panel of TV professionals.
Hi Steve, I'm Claire Baker from Banbury, Oxfordshire, and I've got a great idea for a TV show. It's about following a hoarder on their journey from cluttered to clutter-free.
But is there room for another show about hoarding?
That needs work on.
Britain's biggest hoarders, Hoarder SOS, hoarders on Channel 5, feels a little bit like the world's flooded with them.
We'll lift the bonnet on what it takes to make a hit.
It's hard to bring an audience unless you're offering something really special.
And give your idea a chance to shine.
Viewers would enjoy it. Hoarders would enjoy it because they would see that they can clear their clutter without having to have people go through their stuff.
Now, I'm not making any promises, but you know what? This one could get made.
I really liked it. We haven't done a kind of hoarding type show before.
If you've got a great idea, details coming up. But first, let's hear the pitch.
Hi, Steve. I'm Claire Baker from Banbury, Oxfordshire, and I've got a great idea for a TV show. It's called A Hoarder's Journey. It's about following a hoarder on their journey from cluttered to clutter-free without the need for people to come to their home to help them do it for them or have a blitz. So in each episode, we would follow the hoarder on their seven-step journey from four key perspectives. That of the hoarder, that of the therapist who supports them as their anxiety inevitably increases because their journey forces them to confront the buried issues and emotions contained in their clutter. From the perspective of the friends, family, support workers of the hoarder who are helping them on their journey. And from the perspective of the clutter coach, that's me, who is providing the seven-step clutter clearing journey that they are following. I know this would make a great show because all the hoarding programmes that are on TV at the moment, both now and in the past, have simply been fly-on-the-wall programmes that watch a hoarder get pressurised to have a blitz. This show would see a hoarder not being pressurised to get rid of stuff, but being empowered to get back control themselves. The seven-step journey was developed by me, Claire Baker, a former clutterholic and borderline hoarder myself. With an estimated 1.2 million hoarders in the UK, hoarders, clutterholics and friends and family of hoarders need to see a programme that is made by someone who understands that hoarding is not dealing with the stuff. It's about dealing with the emotions and the feelings that are tied up in the stuff. So that's my idea. I hope you like it.
Anyone can send an audio pitch to the podcast. I haven't met Claire. Her pitch just landed in my inbox. And you know what? I like it. For starters, Claire sounds like someone you could put on TV. She's already working in the clutter clearing space, so to speak, so has access to people with a hoarding problem. And then there's the bit I'm really intrigued by. She calls herself a borderline clutterholic. Time to meet Claire. Let's give her a bell. Hello.
Hello, Steve.
Why do you want to make a TV show?
Every year, I get contacted by hoarding programs wanting essentially to get access to my clients for their programs. And when I say to them, well, how are you planning to help them? Essentially, it's another blitz. And the blitz approach doesn't work for many reasons, both psychological and practical. And in terms of they don't last, even if you do have a blitz and you're ruthless with your decisions. And so I've turned down being involved with hoarding TV programmes for many years. And I think it's about time that there was a respectful one that actually followed what's involved with managing and succeeding at clearing your clutter, so that hoarders and clutterholics alike actually can see that it can be done in a way where they're not being forced to get rid of stuff, and in a way that enables them to do it a final time so that they become clutter-free forever.
Now, I've been dying to ask you this. You describe yourself as a borderline clutterholic. What's your story?
So my story is that back on Millennium Eve, I was sitting around a table at a party in a church hall with family and reflecting on my life at that point at the age of 27, thinking this is not where I thought I was going to be with my life at the age of 27. I had somewhat assumed that by that point I would be married, maybe a couple of kids, you know, half a dog and a Labrador. And I wasn't where I assumed that I would just naturally, effortlessly end up in life. I had a job that I didn't particularly enjoy, wasn't going anywhere. And I thought, is this really it for the rest of my life? And I realized that my clutter, my physical clutter that I had in my home, was symbolic of the clutter that I was experiencing in my life and in my head. And that actually, if I wanted to move on with my life, not only was I going to have to figure out what I actually wanted my life to be like, but that I was going to have to deal with this physical, visible clutter in my home. And I realized that I couldn't blitz it anymore. I couldn't carry on creating piles, weeding out the piles, moving the piles from corner to corner, room to room, trying to hide the piles in storage solutions, blitzing it, all of the methods that everybody uses to try to deal with their clutter. I realized I couldn't carry on spending the rest of my life doing that because the clutter always grew back. It never dealt with the problem. So I realized I was going to have to, you know, really get to the root of the problem. I was trying to deal with the symptom, which is the visible clutter that you can see, but I needed to go to the root of the problem that was the cause, and that was the clutter that was in my head. This fear of letting go of my stuff and actually moving on with my life and figuring out, if I don't have the clutter, what do I want instead?
So that was the point when you realized you had a problem. When did you start helping other people with their problems?
Once I'd cleared my clutter, because I had to obviously figure out, okay, how am I going to do this? Because if I'm not going to do the blitzes, the weeding, the moving, the storing, the reorganizing and the piling, how am I actually going to deal with this clutter? So it took me 2 years to clear my clutter, to figure out how to do it and then to do it, doing a little and often because I didn't want it to take over my life completely. And at the end of that, I thought, hey, that's worked. And I've broken old habits. I've created new habits. I've dealt with the cause so that I know that the clutter won't grow back again to that extent. So I thought, OK, well, actually, I've always liked helping people. That's always been my thing. My first ever job was British Red Cross. I like doing things for other people. And so I thought, well, let's just see if this works for other people. So I put an advert in a local magazine. I named it Life Laundry because at the time there was a TV program called Life Laundry, which involved skips and crushers and things. And I got a couple of people who contacted me saying, yeah, like your services. And I essentially shared with them the method that I had used to clear my own clutter. And lo and behold, it worked for them as well. And then by virtue of that, it kind of grew. I cashed in savings. My parents had bought me some shares in Eurotunnel, cashed them in to pay for my first website so that I could go wider with it. And then decided I need to give myself a proper name. And that was when I started to get hoarders that were approaching me saying, would this work for me? And so it was a matter of, well, I don't quite know. And then when they tried it, it worked for them as well. So it just kind of grew organically from me wanting to share my success so that other people who had struggled for years like I had hope that I can actually deal with this.
Let's just go back to your view on decluttering and hoarding TV shows, which is very much the kind of skip it approach, you know, chuck it all out for the cameras. Why do you feel that does people a disservice? And what would you, I know you've kind of touched on what you'd like to do differently, but how would your show differ to those shows?
My show would be about guiding and supporting people as they take back control themselves. I've had enough people come to me, having been on the TV programs, and said, I had people in, you know, we essentially did a blitz. They were here for a week, 2 weeks. We blitzed it. We cleared some. And it's now back and worse, and I don't know what to do. And they've realised from having had that experience of essentially having helped to have a blitz that it doesn't change anything. It may visibly clear some of the clutter. It may get some of their clutter out of their home and create a little bit of space. But because it's a bit like a crash diet, it's too much too fast. And because it hasn't worked with your brain and the way that you make decisions and the things that you do and the habits that you have, it doesn't deal with the cause. It only focuses on the symptoms. So because they haven't dealt with the cause of their clutter in these programs, it's never a lasting change. When I work with people, one of the basic first things I explain to them is that your home is like a conveyor belt. Things come into your home and onto the conveyor belt. They travel along the conveyor belt. Some of the things stay on the conveyor belt, and some of the things come off your conveyor belt. The trouble with the hoarding programs that are on TV right now, both here and in the US, is that they concentrate on getting things off that conveyor belt and then reorganizing things on the conveyor belt. Not only is there an issue with that because they're not actually teaching people how to make decisions about what comes off their conveyor belt, but they are also not dealing with what's coming onto the conveyor belt, which is where the clutter is coming from.
Okay, Claire, I'm going to play your idea to some TV insiders for their feedback. Are you excited about what they're going to say?
Absolutely, because I know that this is a very radical different perspective on an issue that is well covered on the TV programme. So it'll be interesting to hear what their thoughts are.
People throwing stuff into a skip or a dumpster is a big feature of existing hoarding shows. That's because it's the money shot. Those pictures go into trailers, pre-title sequences, commissioners demand them, and audiences want to see them. So will Claire's vision work? She wants to explore people's emotions about their junk. It's less, well, televisual. I'm going to help Claire get her idea in shape and give it some airtime. Coming up next, the experts pass their verdict. Who are they? We've got a series and edit producer with 2 decades of experience. She's worked on dozens of hit shows, including Bake Off and MasterChef. It's Jo Wolfe.
We always need to think about when we're making a TV show is how is this visual? It can't just be lots of different conversations between different people.
Also, the co-owner of one of the UK's fastest growing production companies. He exec produced vintage motoring show Bangers and Cash, yesterday Channel's most successful show ever. It's Matt Richards.
On the one hand, you think, actually, perhaps the world's had enough of hoarding type shows. But on the other, you sort of say, well, actually, clearly they're popular. And if there's a new way of doing it, then it's worth looking at.
Their advice coming up. And stay tuned because Claire's idea, spoiler alert, well, something great happens.
I didn't expect it to get to this point.
So Claire wants to make a TV show about hoarding. Next up, does her idea have what it takes to make a hit?
We want to know who this person is at the beginning of the journey before they meet Claire. What does Claire do with them?
I'll be rummaging through the idea with series and edit producer Jo Wolfe.
What changes happen? What do they find out about themselves? And what is the expected end?
Going straight in the bin, the title.
A hoarder's journey makes it sound to me like
Dickensian.
Yes, it does. It definitely sounds Dickensian.
This idea, Jo, has come in from Claire Baker, the clutter coach. I've seen a lot of declutter, cleaning, hoarder shows on TV. Is there room for another one, do you think?
There are certain topics that people are constantly fascinated by, and hoarding probably is one of those topics. So there potentially is room for more, but I think there does have to be a new twist on it so that it's not the same as before. So I think especially that sort of what used to be considered 8 o'clock prime time viewing, that sort of feature slot, which has topics like diet, lifestyle, parenting, it sort of crosses over between sort of psychology and kind of interior design, isn't it? It's a sort of crossover topic where you could kind of emphasize one or the other of those elements. And I think that is a topic that people are interested in who like those sort of programs, lifestyle-y type programs. So there is room, but it has to be different.
Now, her idea of difference for this was she's come up with this seven-step journey, and the idea is that she will empower clutterholics, I suppose we could call them, to kind of declutter themselves. Is that enough for it to be different?
So she explained that there were four different perspectives, but what I didn't get were what the seven stages were. And I think that we need more information on that, I'd say. If I was the commission, I need more.
Okay, let's hit pause on Jo for a moment for an answer to that question about the seven steps. And to add a little TV-style jeopardy, let's put 60 seconds on the clock for Claire. Go.
The first step is we actually need to understand what's going on in our home. I made the analogy before of our home being like a conveyor belt. So we need to understand what's going on. We do some exercises, then we move on and we actually start dealing with some physical clutter. So we start dealing with our digital clutter and we start dealing with our paperwork clutter. Third step, we start to learn how to make decisions. There's psychological principles that we need to understand, and we need to reflect back on our lives and decisions we've made in the past to help us make decisions in the present. Then we get stuck in on what I call Mount Everest step four, which is the big and bulky backlog clutter. We carry on doing that for the rest of our journey. And then step five is dealing with sentimental clutter, which is, again, we've seen in the programmes, a lot of people struggle with the emotions tied up in their clutter. Step six is about how to organise our home. Again, we are empowering people to decide how they want their homes to be organised. And step seven is just making sure that those new habits are embedded so that we don't grow the clutter back again.
Now, that's a lot of steps that make perfect sense as part of a course to help hoarders. But in the TV world, that timeline may need condensing or have steps that happen off camera. Jo, you're back in the room.
I like the fact that Claire Baker herself is a recovered clutterholic, and that is a good twist. So whether somebody who's recovered can teach with a different perspective is quite interesting to see. But as you know, Steve, TV is such a visual medium, and what we always need to think about when we're making a TV show is how is this visual? It can't just be lots of different conversations between different people. So it can't be four different perspectives on a conversation. So what visually are we going to see that makes it different is what I think Claire Baker needs to think more about.
Just on that point, one of the things that slightly alarmed me was that she said this is not a fly on the wall show. And with a show like this, that is the kind of money shot, isn't it? A house full of magazines that you've got to climb over to kind of get into. As sort of odd as that is, as a viewer, that's what you're kind of dying to see. Were you worried that it might just be, well, let's have, 15 minutes of therapy and then you go off on your own and clean your house?
Yes, it is a tricky one. It's a bit, it's very similar difficulty that you get with the diet shows where the interesting bit is, oh my gosh, they're so, they look this way now. And then the after is really fascinating, and comparing the before and after of a person's body is really fascinating. But the middle bit isn't necessarily, of seeing the dieting and the fitness, isn't necessarily that visual or interesting. And you've got the same here, where it's fascinating to see the state that a person has allowed their home to get into. And then you want to see the miraculous transformation, definitely, because that's a big visual bit. But the bulk of the program is presumably the middle journey, and how do you make that middle journey visual and engaging and different?
You do want to see stuff going in the skip. One of the things that struck me about Claire when she sent the pitch in was she's very kind of up. She's got a lot of energy. I can imagine her as somebody who would make, a great contributor, because she seems to have a lot to say. Kind of loads of energy, loads of kind of, enthusiasm for a subject. That's got to be a plus point, I suppose, for her.
Yes, I thought Claire was excellent. I think Claire is a big selling point of the proposal. And Claire, the recovered clutterholic, and all her bubbliness and personality and all of her knowledge and experience and empathy is a great selling point. So she's great. In fact, I didn't know why you needed a therapist as well, because I wasn't sure what Claire's role was if she wasn't the therapist and she wasn't the person helping pick out objects to say, no, this must be got rid of.
Claire's idea does appear to have a big cast.
You mentioned the hoarder, the therapist, the clutter coach, that's you, and sort of family members. Joe queried your where you would be in this show. Who is the therapist? Who is that person?
So, the therapist is the person who, if the hoarder starts to display signs of resistance, anger, underlying issues that dealing with the clutter and following the seven steps starts to raise, that therapist can actually dig deeper and spend more time delving into those issues. Because it's very common for hoarders, you see it on a lot of the programs, where you can see that the hoarder is starting to put their defenses up and resist and they start to feel under pressure. And although I work with clutterholics and hoarders in a way so that we do it gently, so that they can cope with the changes that are very gentle, we do still see that resistance. So, for example, I've had clients who have struggled with problems of self-sabotage, that where they realise something from their past, and again the barriers go up and they kind of stop working with the programme, and that's a point at which I would refer them to a therapist.
She thinks this show should be called A Hoarder's Journey. What do you feel about that idea?
A Hoarder's Journey. I think it does what it says on the tin, which is a good start, right? Because you kind of get it. It makes it, A Hoarder's Journey makes it sound to me like
Dickensian.
Yes, it does. It definitely sounds Dickensian. But it also has a bit of that kind of, as if they're recording a sort of video diary kind of thing. As if it's very much them recording a podcast or vlog themselves, and it's sort of they're annotating all of these steps along the way. It's probably not grabby enough for kind of, attention grabbing channels. So
she calls herself the clutter coach. I mean that's probably better than a hoarder's journey, isn't it?
I think A Hoarder's Journey sounds a bit serious and a bit sort of earnest.
Joe didn't like the title. I'm not keen on it either. Are you wedded to A Hoarder's Journey, or have you got some other ideas for it?
I mean, addicted to clutter, breaking the clutter cycle, my cluttered life, cluttered to clutter free, the struggle to let go, the fear to clear, facing the fear to clear the clutter, learning to let go. There are any combination. My idea was actually, there's a program in the US called My 600 Pound Life, where there is a doctor who guides people on their weight loss journey, and they discover that, resistance and challenges and enablers and all those kinds of things as they're trying to lose their weight. And essentially, my concept is mirrored on that, only obviously we're looking at the issue of clutter as opposed to weight.
Let's have a quick listen to My 600 Pound Life. This clip is courtesy of TLC.
You're killing yourself with this and I'm not sticking around for it. Come on, eat them. Eat death, Lindsay.
It's a pretty full-on show, Claire.
I'm not providing a magic wand. They are going to have to do the doing. I will give them the map. I will give them the direction. I will guide them. I'll be by their side for every step that they take. But ultimately, much like on the My 600 Pound Life program, they have to do the doing. They have to follow the eating plan. It's exactly the same with my clients. I'm not going to go in their home and tell them what they should and shouldn't keep, because nobody has the right to make judgments on other people's belongings. So I will enable them to do it, but they have to do it. And so it can be traumatic.
Would you be prepared to show failure?
Absolutely. I don't think it's fair to give the impression in these programs that, you know, everyone's a winner, that magically if you do this, then that will be the magic wand that solves the problem.
Finally, Jo, what should Claire do if she wants to take this further? Now, she kind of write it up into a short pitch, send it to a production company. I guess that's how you kind of go about it. What else should she do?
She could potentially identify some case studies and write up a bit more, not name them by their genuine names, but she could write up some case studies of previous like cases that she's dealt with, which is an example of somebody that we might follow on this program. And she could say, so meet so-and-so. So-and-so lives in... You know, everything would be made up so that the person couldn't be identified. But we want to know who this person is at the beginning of the journey before they meet Claire. What does Claire do with them over X number of weeks? What changes happen? What do they find out about themselves? And what is the expected end with that person? And if she could write it out for maybe two case studies who are quite different from each other, because you need variety of contributors for a program, then it would make it much more clear for the reader what the finished program would be like, and I think that would be helpful. So there's a bit of work that way to do. Then I think it's approaching a production company. To be honest, it's hard enough for a freelance producer to get a production company to listen to their ideas, let alone a member of public. But if you have a really great idea and you really believe in it, and you've got great contributors as well, and you manage to strike up a relationship with the producer is likely to have relationships with the company, then the company is likely to have relationships with a channel, and that's kind of how it gets done.
Thanks to Jo for her help in clearing some of the clutter in this idea.
There's no harm in trying. I am not a commissioner, so I don't know what they're looking for right now. But I would say, I think it's a good idea and go for it.
Her recommendation is to find a producer who knows a production company that might take this on. Well, I'm a producer and I've got one in mind for this show.
She's so passionate. She's authentic. I love the fact she's got her own personal story as to why she wants to do it. And she's clearly a great storyteller. So already at the off, before you even start looking at the idea, you've got someone who you think, I think there might be something behind this, and I think we could perhaps look at working with her.
So I've sent Claire's pitch to Matt Richards. Now, he's the co-owner of Air TV, a British production company. They've built a reputation making emergency rescue shows, including Helicopter ER, and they produce the UK TV smash hit Bangers and Cash. He's asked for a call. Fingers crossed. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, Steve.
We should probably say that we do know each other. I have worked for you in the past.
Yes, yeah.
What did you think of Claire's idea, this hoarder show?
I really liked it. We haven't done a kind of hoarding type show before. But I think with any idea, such a large part of the idea is who's the person behind it and who's pitching it. And, you know, Claire is clearly just great. She's so passionate. She's authentic. I love the fact she's got her own personal story as to why she wants to do it. And she's clearly a great storyteller. So already at the off, before you even start looking at the idea, you've got someone who you think, I think there might be something behind this. And I think we could perhaps look at working with her.
Well, that's excellent news. And I mean, she's very up, isn't she? When she sent the pitch through to me, it's like, hi, Steve, I've got a great idea. And as someone, you know, who works in TV, you want someone with that energy, don't you? You want somebody who's knowledgeable and isn't going to be fazed by having a camera put in their face.
Exactly. And, you know, you kind of instantly get that impression that she knows what she's talking about. This is a subject she's both passionate about and knowledgeable about. And she's got that kind of authenticity that people will buy into. So if there is someone to be a host or a sort of a contributor to lead the way in a show like this, Claire, on first meeting of her, of hearing that pitch, feels like the person to do it.
Interestingly, she says that she's turned down TV shows in the past because she's not happy about the way they've been run. Do you kind of get that? Do you kind of, she's worried about the shows that perhaps have been bung it in the skip and move on type shows. Does that faze you at all? Or do you think she was right to stick to her guns in that case?
No, I think so. I think someone with her level of knowledge and experience of this world, which, like I say, we haven't, you know, done shows like this before, I think is right to be able to pick and choose what kind of shows she wants to do. And hearing that it's a kind of hoarder sort of a show, on the one hand, you're just saying, oh, it feels a little bit like the world's flooded with them, isn't there? There's Britain's Biggest Hoarders, Hoarder SOS, Hoarders on Channel 5, various tidying up shows and organisation shows and all sorts of other things. So on the one hand, you think, actually, perhaps the world's had enough of hoarding type shows. But on the other, you sort of say, well, actually, clearly they're popular. And if there's a new way of doing it that's got an added bit of authenticity or a new way into it, then it's worth looking at, I think.
And certainly as a clutter coach and someone who helps hoarders internationally, apparently, she has a big list of people, you know, who are having this problem, who she's in touch with, which kind of solves a big issue, doesn't it, if you're making a TV show?
Yeah, I think so. She's clearly got the clients who are already coming to her. And so that kind of level of casting, like she says, she's approached by other people casting for other shows. If she is the person who people come to already, then yeah, that you would have thought to start with, you'd have some great contributors you could work with for the show.
This is going well. But what does Matt think about Claire's seven-step process for helping hoarders?
The first step is we actually need to understand what's going on in our home.
Both Joe Wolfe and I felt the seven steps were a little involved.
Then we move on and we actually start dealing with some physical...
What I didn't get were what the seven stages were, and I think that we need more information on that.
Then we get stuck in on what I call Mount Everest step four.
But for Claire, those steps are the foundation of her success and have the potential to be a deal breaker. They're on the table for discussion.
There's bits about the structure of the show we'd have to work on. I think her idea of a seven-part process feels a little bit corporate. It almost felt a bit like one of those kind of property investment seminars of seven steps to multimillionaire success in the property market. So I think we'd have to sort of work out how to make it a bit more fun, if you like, a bit more engaging as storytelling. I think we could work on the title and all that sort of stuff. But absolutely, I'd have a chat with Claire and see if there's something we could work together on.
It's about compromise, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you can clearly cover all of those things within the journey, within the experience, just sort of spelling it out like that over several kind of episodes. And the other thing we're coming across with some of the other programs that we make is broadcasters tend to at the moment like things to be resolved within the single episode. So this idea of following someone from one through several episodes to the end of the series might be tricky, but I think there's ways working around that. But I think she kind of, the thing that hit the nail on the head for me, I think, was when she said that hoarding's not about the stuff, it's about the emotions tied up with the stuff. And I just think there's all sorts of stories and emotional stories you can engage with within the show along those lines. Like Repair Shop isn't necessarily about the engineering and the screwdrivers and repairing the toys. It's all about people's memories that related to that. So I think you could do a similar thing potentially with hoarders' stories and journeys as well.
Now, I know that Air TV has a track record of working with vulnerable contributors. You've worked with, you know, people being rescued by air ambulances. I'm assuming your expertise you're going to bring in to a show like this, because effectively people who are clutterholics are, you could call it a borderline mental health issue, couldn't you, I suppose?
Absolutely. You've got to be really sensitive and really careful with this. Quite rightly, Ofcom have just within the last month or so got some new guidance for all of TV production about how to deal with sensitive subjects like this. And as you say, with the medical shows that we do, we've been doing this for several years. So I think gone are the days when, quite rightly, that TV shows kind of, you know, would put someone up as a bit of a kind of laughing stock or look at their problem and that would be the basis of the show. I think Claire's idea that actually you're wanting to have some takeout advice that people can learn how to deal with their own clutter or collecting issues, coupled with following a journey to a happy resolution for the person you're following as well. So I think across the show that would work really well. And of course, looking after the contributors as part of that process is the most important thing.
So, Matt, you're interested in this idea. It's not just a case of you going and filming it and making a TV show. What sort of steps are involved for perhaps people listening to this who are going, wow, that's good news. A production company is interested in this idea. Obviously, you'll have a conversation with Claire. What do you need to do next?
Yeah, it's a complicated process. And, you know, I think a lot of people might just think, oh, well, yeah, if someone from a TV show, a TV company kind of likes it, then we're almost there. But obviously, we have lots of ideas that we think are brilliant that we then pitch to broadcasters. And so that's the next stage. So what we would do is work with Claire. If she wanted to work with us on it, we'd probably film a little bit of a taster tape, a sizzle, as they're called in our world, that involves Claire and perhaps one of her current clients. So you get an idea of what the show might look like and the kind of people involved. We then write a pitch document, and then we decide which of the broadcasters we work with, or even some broadcasters we haven't yet worked with. We'd send it off to them and then start a conversation as well. So the great thing about TV is it's so collaborative. So someone might start with an idea and feel like, oh, it's being watered down. It's not quite the direction I wanted it to take. But actually, if they keep an open mind about it, everyone can sort of pitch in their ideas, some of our ideas, some from the channel and the broadcasters as well. And hopefully by the end of it, you've got an even better kind of structure and a program that people want to watch, and that the person who originated it gets what they want out of it as well.
I've already spoken to Claire about the title that she's got for this show. I didn't like it. A Hoarder's Journey. She's accepted yeah. It's not quite right. Have you got any ideas?
No, I mean, clearly A Hoarder's Journey, yeah, it doesn't jump out on the EPG, on the programme guide. But actually, just within her own pitch, she came up with phrases like Clutterholics and The Clutter Coach. Already, they're far more dynamic titles. So I think just within what she's already come up with, there could well be a title that would work.
So Matt likes the idea and is interested in taking it into development. I'm not going to mince my words, this is brilliant news, because for every idea that gets picked up by a production company, hundreds of others don't make the cut. Matt and Claire will be getting their heads together to discuss her hoarding show. And coming up, we find out how that meeting went down.
Yeah, well, given that I've literally cobbled it together within about an hour, you know, and just thought, hey, what the heck, let's give this a go. I didn't expect it to get to this point.
It's been a couple of weeks since I introduced Claire, the clutter coach, to British production company Air TV. The good news is they want to take her idea into development. Being picked up by a producer like this is a crucial step. It proves they have faith in the concept and are willing to spend time and money working it up into a final concept. Let's give Claire a call. So, it's been a little while since we had a catch-up. How are things going?
No, things are going well. Had a good conversation with Matt a couple of days ago and just talked about kind of next steps and how it might work. Sent him off in the direction of he was going off to watch an episode of My 600-Pound Life, which is kind of, you know, an idea of a possible concept. So, so really positive. I'm going to work up some case studies as examples to give to him so that he can then go and potentially talk to a commissioner about the possibility of developing it further.
It's one thing to say, I want to make a TV show, and then someone comes along and goes, all right then, let's have a stab at it. How are you feeling about the sort of process?
I'm just going to take this as it comes, with no expectations that the next step will materialise. Just see where it goes. You just never know, do you?
Have you had a moment in the last couple of weeks to think, what have I got myself into?
Oh, yes. But then I think about that all the time anyway, when I do take up opportunities that present themselves with running my own business. So, you know, there are those moments where actually, when you realise that you're stepping outside your comfort zone, it's scary, but also exciting. So, you know, life is not about staying in your comfort zone and staying with what is familiar. It's about trying things that do make you a little bit scared, because that's when you know that you're alive, isn't it?
Matt Richards at Air TV, what is he going to do next? I mean, when I spoke to him, he mentioned doing a sizzle or a taster, which is a kind of promotional video that isn't public but is used to show to commissioners and broadcasters. Is he giving you a time scale, or, you know, what will you be doing next?
I will work up some examples, some case studies of the types of clients that I have. Obviously, the issue for me is until I have some specifics, I can't obviously approach anybody who is currently on their journey with me. This is a sort of an average type case scenario with the types of people that I work with. So we could expect that if somebody came forward, depending on what the opportunity was for them to be involved, then this is the type of person that we could expect.
Now, when we first spoke, you were worried about a couple of things. You were worried about really helping people. You were worried that other shows like this didn't really do that. And you were concerned that you didn't want to be involved in something that was just a kind of skip it and shoot it sort of TV show about hoarding. What reassurances have you had that actually they're going to take this seriously?
One of the main questions that Matt asked me was about the issue of duty of care. And I told him that I have fired clients of mine in the past because I feel that it is dangerous for them to continue their journey without going and dealing with the underlying issues. And I feel that he understands that because the types of programs that he's done before, there's been an issue of duty of care. The helicopter ER programs that he does, for example, there's obviously a duty of care and it has to be done respectfully. So actually having seen a couple of the programs that he's been involved in, it has the right feel. It has the right level of respect for the case studies. I would want that level of respect for anybody who was on this program. So that's definitely reassured, because I don't feel he does the shock tactic type TV that we have seen in relation to clutter and hoarding in the past.
How are you feeling about the prospect? I know it's off in the distance, of becoming possibly quite famous, Claire.
Yeah. That's not something that is kind of in my mind at all. I mean, again, I for me, and I know it probably sounds corny and everybody probably says this, but because I've been doing what I do for 20 years, and because, you know, my husband always says, you know, we're never going to be millionaires. And I'm like, no, I'm not interested in being millionaires. All that matters to me is that people are getting the right, appropriate kind of help. To me, it wouldn't be about being famous. It would be about getting the message out there, you know, you can deal with this.
Helping people.
Yeah, I know it's really corny, but, you know, that's what I would see it as opposed to me personally becoming famous. Yeah, no, I personally can't imagine that. But, you know, again, one step at a time.
How are you feeling about appearing on the podcast? Are you pleased you did it?
Yeah, well, given that I literally cobbled it together within about an hour, you know, and just thought, hey, what the heck, let's give this a go. You know, I didn't expect it to get to this point and to actually have, you know, somebody who is interested in taking the next step. So I'm very grateful to you for having, you know, given me that opportunity and enabled me to kind of start that process. This will definitely be a learning curve like no other, I am sure, but I'm very, very grateful for you, you know, having done this.
Well, you're very welcome, and I wish you the best of luck, and keep me posted. I'd obviously love to come to the, you know, the razzmatazz showbiz launch when it eventually gets made. And I'm just delighted that it's kind of worked out for you. It's looking like possibly the first successful picture TV show of very many. So I'm as happy as you are about it. If you need any more help with it, Claire, you know where I am.
I do. Yeah, no, thank you so much. It's, you know, the ultimate start to 2021, I think, you know, to see where this goes. And, you know, it's all thanks to you. So thank you.
So that's where we end our Hoarders journey for now. Challenges ahead for Claire and Matt. They need to find a cast of Hoarders, work up a detailed format and sell it to a broadcaster. If all goes well, it might be on air in 18 months. I'll bring you any updates. And coming soon.
Hi, Steve. I'm Raymond Munoz, and I've got a great idea for a TV show.
A student from California pitches his idea for a superhero fantasy drama.
And it's about an adopted teenage girl with magical, powerful abilities who's on the search for her real parents. I feel like this will make a great show. I know this will make a great show.
And have you got an idea you'd like to send me? Just Google Pitch a TV Show Podcast to find out how. If you love the show, please post a comment in the review section of your podcast app or tweet me at Steve Bleers. Thanks for listening. The podcast is produced by BitFamous Limited. This is the glamorous bit about podcasting, recording in your daughter's bedroom. Shush. I'll put it in the podcast if you're not careful. So that's where we end our Hoarders journey. Stop it. I'm going to make you leave the room. They need to find a cast of Hoarders to work up a detailed format and sell it to the